Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Welcome to a life-changing encounter with the Word of God, presented to you from the Lighthouse Chapel International. This week's teaching provides clear and straightforward answers for anyone desiring to walk according to the Word of God. Enjoy some of the most comprehensive and down-to-earth teachings as taught at the Lighthouse Chapel International.
Even my enemies came up against me to eat up my flesh. They stumbled and they all fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart and though war may rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that one thing to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple all the days of my life. For in time of trouble He will hide me in the secret place of His tabernacle. My head shall be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer sacrifices of praise to the Lord. Teach me Your ways, O Lord. Do not deliver me to mine adversaries, that I may see the goodness of the Lord. Amen.
taught, and I never drowned. On the bed of affliction at Kolibu, when you appeared to me at the feet of those that have gone ahead of me, that I may return to the land of my birth, to proclaim the uncompromising and unadulterated word of God to the people of this nation, I never thought that it would be this way. I receive every adoration and honor and standing ovation and all the clap offerings for you. For you alone deserve it all. I take no credit for anything done or said, for I am nothing but a servant who have been all and done all that I have, only because I receive grace and I receive mercy. Bless this house. Bless your manservant, Bishop Doug Hayward Mills, the wife, the children, and all who labor with him in the vineyard of the kingdom across the nations of the world to which you have called him. Surround him with the walls of fire. Surround his family with the walls of fire. Surround this house and those who are strategic to his calling and those who are called to be with him to the end. Surround them with the walls of fire. Oh God, set down an adversary on the right hand of his accusers. And when they are judged, let them be guilty, because they favored not the cause of your son. But as for him, oh Lord, let your oil, the everlasting oil from the mountains of Zion, be ever increasing upon his life. Grant him, oh God, such wisdom of the ancient above his days and above his peers, and continue to enlarge him and give him the ability for quantum leaps in the ministry, that he will become a wonder, a sign, and a miracle to all that see him. Because he had believed in the ordinances of the Father. Now bless all that hear the sound of my voice that you brought from the nations of our world. For so many have come weary. So many have come tired. So many have come weak. And many are afraid. But speak thou a word that will bring comfort and healing, to refresh us, to quicken us, to sharpen us, to energize us. Yea, speak a word that will cause an infusion of new inspiration, an injection of fresh oil into our spiritual DNA that gives us divine capabilities to return to where we came from and to tell the devil, you have no authority. You can't stop me. I'm unstoppable. I'm indestructible. I will run the race. I will finish my course. And I will fight the good fight of faith. Thank you, Father. And now to the principalities and the powers of this region. I speak from a heavenly perspective, from where all authority and power proceeds over heaven and earth. In the name of he who died, laid in the grave and arose triumphant on the third day, comply, bow your knee, obey the voice of the watchers of Zion, obey the decrees of the Holy One, come into compliance in the name of Jesus, comply to the will and the demands of the intercessors, and let this conference, oh God, I pray, make so much a difference in all of our lives that we'll always look up to it every year to be back, that we may sharpen one another's iron and countenance. Let there be an outflow of the Spirit and let it rain. Send the rain. Let fresh winds of the Spirit blow over this house and over this conference. Send us seasonal rains. Specific reigns, strategic reigns, in the name of Jesus. Please be seated. I feel very humbled and very touched and very moved all the time when I come by Bishop Doug, who is not just a son, but he's my best friend. And not just a best friend, but He's one of my secret counselors that I sit and talk with in the seasons of the night for hours and brainstorm when I'm dealing with some of the crises of the ministry. We just meet and we sit and we talk for hours, and I say, you know what, I want to run this by you. What do you think? And he so blesses me that I can share my pain, my heart with him, my secrets with him, and I know that they are safe and it will not be repeated and it will just stay there. A friend is one that you are not ashamed to naked yourself before. A friend is one that when you are talking to, you are not careful of what you say, because you know whether you say the right or the wrong thing, it will not be held against you. And he's that kind that I can freely talk to without thinking. For others, when I talk to, I'm very, very careful and I mind what I say and I choose my words very, very intelligently and very wisely so that it is not held against me in the day of my adversity. And I want to say to those of you who labor here with him, Bishop Saki and Eddie and all the many others, that you are very privileged and you are very blessed to have him. And it's such a great privilege that God has given to you to labor with him in the vineyard of the kingdom. And to all of you that serve in Lighthouse International, it's such a great privilege for all of you. It is one church that when any of my children come to, I never feel a sense of loss. I have so many of children and members that I brought up and raised in Action that are here, and it's always a joy to know that you are here, because this is part of Action, it's part of my family, and whenever any one of you come here, I don't feel a sense of loss. I was talking to one of the pastor's wife in Atlanta, Lighthouse in Atlanta. She used to be in Action when she was 5 years old, and there are so many of them like that all over, some of your pastors and everything. And she was just talking to me from the age of five, some of my preachings, and she was demonstrating some things on the phone, and I said, oh God, these people know me too much. And I was so blessed, and I always get blessed when I meet the pastors all over the nations of the world, and they tell me how they've been in Action and how they are here now and what God is doing. I don't feel a sense of loss, because I feel very strongly that they are in a good place, and this is my house and my family also. So it's always such a privilege and an honor. And I must say this, that sometimes when I see Bishop Dag and what God has used him to do, it makes me feel like if all that I was called to do in life and in ministry was to touch only this bishop, then my work is done and accomplished. I don't have to build any more buildings. I don't have to raise and do any more crusade. For every crusade he does, I have a portion in it. You may not see me on the crusade grounds, but for every crusade and every book he writes, for every reward he gets in heaven, I have a portion in it. You know that there is a network of certain businesses where you are set up to introduce others. And for anyone you introduce and for those they introduce, it doesn't matter how many thousands they become, you still get a portion in everybody's reward. And if we can understand it that way, then there is no need to fight and to kill and to destroy one another, because it's all about the kingdom, and it's about heaven and eternity. And for all the delegates that have come, great servants and women of God that have come from the nations of the world, and for the different regions and cities of Ghana, you are in a good place, and I strongly believe that these meetings will be such a great and a tremendous blessing to you. And to all the bishops here, Reverend Steve and the Bishop of Fori from Takoradi and all the others, I want to salute you. Bishop Dagg, I've said so much that, as a matter of fact, I was sitting there and I felt like I can't preach and I can't say anything because he said so much that I was so satisfied in my spirit that what he was saying was so accurate and was so true that if today's generation, I'm writing a book dealing with a fatherless generation that basically deals with spiritual orphans. And I was talking about where the spirit of the orphans came from, that it began in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve rebelled against God's authority and decided to go against what God had said, that God had to literally drive them out of the garden, and the covering and the glory under which they operated was removed, and they became spiritual orphans, walking the face of the earth without a sense of fulfillment and a sense of belonging and a sense of direction. They were like vehicles that have had enough fuel in their tank, taken off to a destination they did not know, only to run out of gas in the mix and in the middle of the desert because they had no sense of direction. What an inspiring and a moving message. And I must say that he's not preaching what he's preaching because he seeks for anybody to submit to his authority. It is his life. He has always believed in these principles before he even became big. And that is one of the things I admired about him, that he doesn't gossip about anybody. I always tell people, my children really love him. My kids were asking me the other day, they said, "Daddy, so who is really your friend?" Because I'm a lonely person. And I was telling the church yesterday that these days I love being alone. All alone with Jesus, that something happens when you begin to love being alone with the Master. Because the Bible said when Jacob was all alone by himself, when his wives and his children and his servants and everyone had gone ahead and had left him alone, then appeared a God man and said, "Now that you are all alone by yourself and you cannot be distracted, you are in a good place, and I can now have your attention. And now I will wrestle you till I break that aspect of you that will release the unction that is required and necessary for the next dimension." And you can never be wrestled by God, and you can never wrestle with God until you've learned to walk and to be all alone, until you learn to access the clouds of glory. You can never experience Him. The other day, Moses was going up to the mountain of Sinai to meet Elohim, and he took Joshua and then went with him, and at the point of the mountain, he said, "You stay and you remain here, and I will enter the clouds." When it comes to entering the clouds, you cannot access the clouds unless you have learned to govern and to master the feeling of loneliness. Because he stayed there for 40 years, for 40 days, and God never spoke. Then on the 40th day, the Lord said to him, "Now enter the cloud." There is a dimension in God. Not everyone can go with you there. Enter the cloud. The angel wrestled Jacob until the break of the morning, and Jacob realized that this was not an ordinary combat, that there was something about the skill of this man and how he moved and how he wrestled him and how he tackled him, that there was some supernatural energy. He felt the vibration of supernatural energy, that this wasn't ordinary capabilities. And then said, "Bless me." And the angel looked at him and said, "We don't just put blessings anywhere. We assign blessings to specific geographical locations and persons and individuals. Identify yourself. What is your identity? Reveal your identity. What is your name? Tell me your identity." And he said, "My name is Jacob." And he said, "Wait a minute. Let me log in and check the records in eternity. Let me see what is written in the scrolls. Let me see what is written in the volumes of the books. Let me see if there's any record and information on you in eternity. And the angel put the name of Jacob and downloaded heaven's intelligence and heaven's perception and heaven's record about Jacob and said, there is no record of Jacob in heaven. The word Jacob is not known in the records of heaven. You are a stranger in heaven. You are not known. However, let me reveal the original identity, God's original intent for you. Your name has always been in the scrolls of eternity by the judicial decisions and executive determinations of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Your name has always been Israel. And he said, Jacob, you will have never known your identity. You would have died and gone to the grave. And the real identity of who you are would have never been revealed. And there would have never been a nation called by Israel. And he said, the name Jacob is an imposition. That was a wrong identity imposed or superimposed on you. I came to speak to somebody tonight. In the name of Yeshua, that every wrong identity that has been placed upon you by society, by your background, by your family, is about to change. Hey. Somebody say, hey. Something is breaking in the atmosphere. Something is breaking in the atmosphere. Somebody say, Satan, take your hands off my identity in the name of Jesus. Please be seated in heavenly places. Ladies and gentlemen, power is a product of wrestling with superior authorities. You can't have power if you haven't wrestled with power. And from meditation and from my thoughts throughout the whole day, as a matter of fact, I was leaving to New York this early morning, I had all my bags packed in the back of my trunk, and I miscalculated the dates for the conference. I thought it was last week, and so I came in early only to find out that it was this week. And I had a call at 5 in the morning from Pastor Joel from Maryland, and he said, Bishop is trying to track you down. Where are you? And I said, I'm on my way coming to Maryland today. And I said, where is Bishop? And he said, Bishop is in Accra. And I said, he can't be in Accra. I've been here for a week. And he said, he's just coming back from a crusade outside of the city. So I said to my PR and protocol, I said, I can't travel. You cancel the reservation and I have to stay because Bishop is in town. Whenever I'm in town and I don't spend much time here like I used to before. And whenever I'm in town and he's not in town, I feel very lonely. Because there are not too many people you can talk to. A time comes in your life that you only talk to people who feel your pain. And if somebody don't feel your pain, it's a waste of time and energy to talk to them. You are a fool to talk to somebody who don't feel your pain. And like Bishop said, we are not assigned to everybody. I'm not assigned to everybody. My assignment is to specific individuals. And those who hear me are those I'm assigned to. And those who don't hear me, I'm not assigned to them. And so I don't take offense for those who don't hear me and don't like me. If I'm assigned to you, you will like me. If I'm not assigned to you, will you not like me? And it doesn't bother me at all. You know, it's amazing, as much as I love Papa Hagen was one person that I didn't really understand him very well when he was teaching, even though I could feel the spirit, I understood the spirit of what he was saying, his vocabulary and everything really was in my time. And the one that really blessed me was Dr. Lesser Samuel. Apart from people like Ida Hosa and Morris Aurelio that still fathers me, And when Dr. Samuel passed, the year before he died, he came to Ghana twice and spent a lot of time with me. And I asked him a lot of things. And I said, Papa, I need you to talk to me. And I flew with him with my son to Amsterdam, to Schiphol Airport. And he was going to the plane. And I heard the whisperings from the corridors of eternity. And the father said, you will not see him again after this. So let him bless you. And I said, Papa. And he stopped. And I said, you haven't blessed me. And he turned and laid his hands upon my shoulder. And I felt the energies of eternity flowing through my veins. And he said, let him be blessed. And let him prevail where the eagles failed. And said some things about me. And I thanked him. A few weeks after, I heard that he had gone to be with the Lord. And God led me to South Bend, Indiana. And I stayed there for 2 years. Studying the man, Dr. Samuel. To know what made him what he was. And I thank God for that. So those were great teachings. Tremendous teachings, and I encourage every one of you to have copies of these books and get some and give them to your loved ones. And I intend to pick up at least about 150 copies of the books for all my pastors. I want every one of my pastors to read it, and I want them to teach out of it and bless people. Because if we can help this generation, if we can get this generation to catch the mantles and the revelation of fatherhood, it will take them so very far. We have too many spiritual casualties in this move of God. And so many mighty are fallen by the assault and by the sword of the adversary because they haven't learned the protocols of the kingdom. But there are technicalities and legalities of the ordinances of the kingdom. And we have to gain understanding of how the technicalities and the protocols and the legalities of the kingdom works. And that is the greatest gift of your pastor, your bishop. Everywhere in the world when people ask me and say, what is his secret? What makes him great? I said, he walks in simple principles. And I believe, and I say it all the time, and he knows it's not because I'm here. I believe that this is one of the greatest charismatic churches of all time. In this nation, and not only in this nation, but all over Africa, with what God is doing with him, and yet he remains simple. And that is what makes him powerful. And I can stand here and tell you so many things about him and sing his praises, but that is not why I came. But whenever I have the opportunity to come, I come to celebrate him, because not too many people will celebrate your success. You know, when he was talking about fathers, I was thinking about Eli. How Eli failed being a natural father to his own kids. And God disqualified him. And then a child who was a prophetic child was brought to a prophet and to a priest and to a father who had failed in raising up his own. And therefore was disqualified by God. They brought a little prophetic child to him. And he failed in raising up his own kids. But succeeded, having learned from his failure, to raise up someone else's kid to make him successful. And the very prophet who had failed in raising up his own succeeded in raising up Samuel to become one of the most outstanding prophets of all times. And what he said was so true that there are different fathers. Because Eli was a spiritual father to Samuel that was not a natural father. And didn't teach him parental skills. So even though Samuel succeeded spiritually and became so a mighty prophet of all times, he failed as a father to his children. And Samuel succeeded in raising up David to be a prophet, a priest, and a king, because David walked in three dimensions of anointing. He was a priest, he was a king, he was a prophet. And Samuel succeeded in raising up David to make him a success spiritually, But David failed as a father because he didn't have a father, a natural father, to mentor him and to teach him how to become a father. I'm telling you, this book is heavy. Somebody said the book is heavy. Say the book is loaded. Let me just leave some thoughts with you. I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about understanding the dynamics of authority. The dynamics of authority. I've come to the conclusion, by God's grace, I'm 30 years in ministry this year. 3 decades. And it is said and believed that the first 30 years of a man's life are your learning years. And your second 30 years are your achieving years. And I believe that I have just begun my achieving years, because the first 30 years were my learning years. And I have learned so much by God's grace that there are certain situations I don't need the spirit of discernment to see. I can smell. When you've been around for a while, you can smell when you see an enemy. And it was good for me that I learned and suffered the things I suffered at the time when I suffered them. Because I was telling some of my bishop, I said, there are certain mistakes you can't make it at certain altitudes. Because higher altitudes demand more oxygen. And it is good to make some mistakes at certain levels. But at certain altitudes, you can't afford some mistakes. So the mistakes of your youth empowers you to be wiser as you rise into certain altitudes, not to repeat them. I was talking about wisdom and obedience and how they work together. A father has knowledge of something about this pulpit, that if you touch this pulpit at certain time, it will shock you. So the father tells the son, "Son, don't touch this pulpit. In the night, when service is over." And he says, "Why shouldn't I touch it?" And the father said, "Don't just touch it. Will you listen to me? Don't touch it." And he doesn't understand why daddy said, "Don't touch it." So he goes to touch it. Then he gets a shock by touching it. At that point, he understands why knowledge said, "Don't touch it." So there are certain things you don't understand till you experience it. And that was the difference between the first Adam and the second Adam. Because the first Adam didn't grow. The first Adam was not born. The first Adam didn't crawl. The first Adam was not a child and didn't become a son. He just became a man. So he lost the processes of development from being a child to a son to a man. So obedience was a problem to the first Adam because he didn't suffer anything. And obedience is a product of suffering. If you haven't suffered something, you don't know true obedience. Because obedience comes through what you have suffered. When you've suffered something that you were told not to do, and out of it, you face consequences of your action, next time, when you face a similar situation, you will obey without struggle because you know the implication and the consequences of disobedience. That's why the Bible said that Jesus learned obedience through the many things he suffered. Obedience is something you learn by suffering. In the book of Matthew, the 8th chapter, the 9th verse, the Bible talks about a centurion who needed a miracle from Jesus. And he understood the rules of engagement. And therefore said to the master, "You don't have to come to my house. You are the master. Speak your words, and what I desire shall be done from where you are. Because to you there is no distance when it comes to what your words can accomplish." And he said, "I am a man under authority. And by being under authority gives me authority. And to one I say go and he goeth. To another I say come and he cometh." Jesus said, "Yea, I have not seen such a great faith in Israel." Now watch this. He said, "Because I'm under authority, I have authority." There is difference between power, dunamos, and authority, which is exousia. You got to understand that everybody can have power, because power is also ability or capabilities, but not everybody can have authority, because true authority must be delegated. Every authority that is not delegated is illegal, unlawful, unscriptural, and is not recognized by heaven. You heard what Bishop said, that when John Wesley was asked, "Where did you come from? Who announced you?" He said, "The Archbishop of Canterbury." So you must always come from somewhere. You must be announced by somebody. You must be validated by somebody. You cannot validate yourself. You can't call yourself. You can't send yourself. You cannot anoint yourself. You cannot baptize yourself. You cannot marry yourself. You can't find a woman and say, "Baby, face me, let us marry." And you say to her, "With this ring, I did wedding." You say, "With this ring, you did wedding. With my body, I did honor. With all my earthly good, with thee, I share. Forsaking all others, committing to none other but you, unto death do us part," all that. "And now, according to the authority invested upon me, I pronounce us husband and wife, and I marry you. You may now kiss the bride." Somebody says, "C'est n'est pas possible." Say, "All authority is delegated." Why authority is very important for us ministers is because when you understand and walk in authority, you don't struggle. I was at one of Bishop's crusades, and I was watching at the time of the healing when he was praying for the sick. And I told somebody that went with me, I said, "Watch something here." I said, "Watch the way he moves and he operates." I said, "This is not power, this is authority." And he said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Power is different from authority." And I said, "With authority, you don't struggle. You speak and things happen at your pleasure." And let me explain that to you. The difference between the apostles and Jesus in casting out devil was that they had power, but they didn't have authority. And demons recognize authority than power. And let me show you what authority and power is. A policeman, a young man, a woman, stands on the highways of Ghana and sees a heavy-duty truck coming and steps on the highway, lifts up their hands like this. That little tiny thing standing there with their hands lifted up, because of the police attire and what the police attire represents, that heavy duty truck must comply. Therefore, you apply brake and you stop. That is authority in action. What is the authority? The authority is the uniform, and what the uniform and the crown on the hat of the policeman represents. That is authority. Now he calls you, come down. And you come down. And he tells you this and that, you are under arrest. When you try to resist the arrest, he removes his pistol. He switches from authority to power. The pistol is not authority. The pistol is power. Somebody shout power. Somebody shout power. When I pull the trigger, brother, sister, you must comply. For instance, a judge, maybe a very old lady, a very young lady, sitting in the chair of a judge, sentences you to 5 years imprisonment. She doesn't have power. She has authority. Why? Because she represents authority. She has the backing of the state, the backing of an institution, the backing of governance behind her. So she says 5 years imprisonment. Immediately, when she hits her hammer, bang, a decree, 5 years. The police comes immediately and puts the handcuffs on you and says, follow me, and takes you. On the way to Insawam prison, if your friends mobilize themselves to intercept the van and to bring you out, the police immediately call for reinforcement. So more police troops come. When the police troops come and they can't handle it, then they call for the army. If the army can't handle it, then they call for reinforcement. Then they will call for the Navy. Then they will call for the Air Force. Then they will call for the reserve troops. Every one of the governmental arms of his security and intelligence will come out there. Why? Because a woman, a simple woman, has made a decree and a decision on the behalf of the entire state. And therefore, all the forces and the arms of government must enforce that decree, even though she doesn't have power. Are you hearing me, somebody? I was dealing with a situation recently, and I said, I deploy all the powers of the kingdom at my disposal to come to bear on this matter. And let there be divine resolution on this matter hereafter. Are you hearing me, somebody? If you understand the workings of authority, you will operate in dominion. In Job 38 and 33, the Bible says, knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Can thou set its dominion on the earth? What does that mean? It means that if you understand the ordinances of heaven, you can have rule or dominion by the ordinances of heaven on the earth. Because the heavens rules in the affairs of men. Jesus said, what things soever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. What things about you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. But that is not it. That is the literal meaning of the scripture. But the celestial meaning of that scripture is, if you know and understand what heaven has decided, if you know the verdicts of heaven, if you know the decrees of heaven, if you know the decrees of the watchers and the words of the Holy One concerning matters and events of the earth, then you will enforce them on the earth, and it shall be so even as it is enforced in heaven. So what does it mean? Whatsoever is bound in heaven can be bound on the earth. Whatsoever is loose in heaven can be loosed on the earth. Now, how do you know what is bound in heaven? How do you know what is loose in heaven? It is when you have access to divine intelligence. The other day, Jesus said to the disciples, he said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And the Bible said, they answered and said to some, "Say thou art John the Baptist risen from the dead." And to others said, "You are Jeremiah, one of the Old Testament prophets." Jesus said, "You that are with me, who say ye that I am?" And the Bible said that everybody was quiet. Suddenly, because Jesus had prayed for Peter, that when thou art converted, strengthen thy brothers or thy brethren. And the fact that Peter was going to be the leader, he must have keys. He must be ahead in understanding and in knowledge and in wisdom than the others and that those who followed him. So Jesus had interceded for Peter to be able to buy into divine intelligence. And therefore Peter immediately logged into the mind of God, downloaded divine intelligence, and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah, your name shall no more be Simon, which means unstable as water, but thou shalt be called Peter, solid like a rock." And upon this revelation of who I am, that my church is not built by rumors, that my church and the people that will survive in my church will not be people that operate by public opinion or by man's knowledge, by logic, nor by philosophy, but it shall be people who have the ability to hear from heaven. People who hear from the Father, people who are connected to heaven, are the people that shall be members of my church. Jesus said, "And I will build my church, and the very gates of hell will not stand a chance." What does that mean? It means that the greatest threats to my church will be the gates of hell. But I will give you keys of the kingdom of heaven. And what are keys for? Keys stands for revelation. They stand for access. He said, "I will give you access to heaven, and you will know the mind of God. You will have access to the head office, and you will know what heaven wants on the earth. You will know what the decisions of the Father in heaven is concerning matters of the earth. And therefore, whatever the enemy brings up, whatever strategy he comes up with, you will have the ability to resolve it. You will have the ability to answer the adversary at every level." And watch this. There were 12. But none of the 12 received the keys but Peter. Peter was the only one who had the keys. He said, "Unto you." Why? Because you have developed the ability to hear from God and from heaven about issues and matters. Not to hear from men, but to hear from heaven. I'm about to sit down. The greatest blessing, which I believe Bishop will tell you, apart from every other thing that has made him successful, whenever great preachers come into this country, I tell my driver, I say, "Take them to Reverend Steve Mensah's church and take them to the Lighthouse Mega Church and let them see what God is doing in this country." That God is doing something. I've sent so many people here to see what God is doing, and I pride myself in what God is doing. But let me tell you the secret. The secret is cultivating and learning the ability to hear the voice of the Father, to hear from heaven. Because something happens when you hear from heaven. Church, if you can't hear him, you are in darkness. If you can't hear him, you are disadvantaged forever. But if you hear him, it does not matter the situation you find yourself in. If you hear him, you can come through every situation victoriously. You can emerge victoriously with 100% victory out of every crisis situation. There is no situation you find yourself in or you put yourself in that hearing the voice of God cannot bring you out of. Lazarus was in the tomb. His spirit was in the bosom of Abraham. And the master stood at the tomb of Lazarus, and he echoed his voice to the regions of the underworld. And the spirit of Lazarus heard the voice of Elohim. And the spirit of Lazarus traveled out of the regions of the underworld and returned into his body. And he rose and came bound with grave clothes because he heard the voice of the master. Please hear his voice. There is no situation that confronts you that hearing the voice of God cannot resolve. There is nothing that comes your way that you put yourself into or the devil puts you into that hearing the voice of the master cannot bring you out of. In conclusion, let me say this. Jesus said to John the Baptist, baptize me that all righteousness may be fulfilled. But please realize that until he submitted himself to the God appointed authority on earth before he came on the scene, the Father did not validate him. It was when God's ordained authority on the earth, who came in the spirit of Elijah, validated Jesus and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And by submitting himself and being humble enough to accept the protocol of heaven and the technicalities and the legalities of the oppressions of the kingdom, having been in compliance, then responded by heaven, the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Somebody got to announce you. Who announced you? At whose feet did you study? Who laid hands upon you? And of which of the tribe of Israel did you come from? Success don't make you a father. God or heaven value system is different from earth value system. And what God's definition of success is different from man's definition of success. Now, I was standing out there with Bishop, we were talking, and I was saying, Bishop, you know what? When you see some of these buildings and things, it's very intimidating. And I said, I'm going to bring my architects to learn some things from here. Because I said, there is nobody I know that maximizes space like you do. Nobody. He will maximize every little space. Where there is nothing, he makes something. And he said something that blessed me. He said, you know, all of this means nothing to God in heaven. All of these don't count anything in heaven. What counts is doing the will of the Father. Those are things, maybe when he's preaching he doesn't tell you, but those are the things that draws me to him. When me and him meet, the wife will tell you she goes to sleep. Because we are just talking, and before you find out it's 5 a.m. before we are leaving to go home. We never get tired. We have a lot to say. And I just want to submit to you. Don't announce yourself. Don't validate yourself. Let somebody validate you. Jesus was announced by John the Baptist and announced by the Father. You have to be announced by somebody. If you study the scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament, always somebody validated somebody and announced somebody. True authority is delegated. If you have never been under authority, what you have is not authority, it's power. And Satan is not afraid of you. Satan is not afraid of people with power because he has power. What Satan fears is authority because he doesn't have authority. Jesus said, "Behold, I give unto you authority over all the powers of the enemy to tread upon serpents and scorpions. And over all the power of the enemy, nothing shall by enemies hurt you." To have authority is to be able to receive from authority. You can't give grace and minister grace unless you have received grace. You can't minister mercy unless you have been a recipient of mercy. You can't lead unless you've been led. You can't teach unless you've been taught. You cannot command unless you've been commanded. You cannot empower unless you have been empowered. You can't lay hands unless hands has been laid upon you. I pray for all of you who are ministers here that we learn out of the example of Bishop Dark. I was telling somebody, I said, I learned from three fathers, and they were giants and generals. Dr. Samuel Idahosa, Archbishop Idahosa of blessed memory, and Dr. Maurice Rello, that I still submit to. I fly every now and then to his city in San Diego to just sit down, talk, eat, fellowship, and fly back. Just to touch his mind and receive some infusion and inspiration. Every now and then you will need that. If you have never have a father and walk with a father and learn of a father, you don't know how to deal with the battles of life. But when you've seen a father and how they deal with the battles of life, when you meet them, you will know how to navigate through them. Because you've seen how fathers deal with it. If David had killed Saul when he took Uriah and killed, when he took Bathsheba and killed Uriah, Joab and his mighty men would have killed David. But by example, he showed to them that even though Saul was in the wrong, it is not my responsibility to touch him. Let God who anointed him deal with him. And even when Saul fell and David had it, he said, "Tell it not in the streets of Gath or in Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised and Philistines rejoice and gain advantage over us. Tell not the falling of the mighty men in the streets of Accra. Publicize it not on the continent of Africa, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised rejoice." May you grow from strength to strength. May you receive an infusion of the courage of a lion. And in difficult moments, and in times when the challenges of life literally threatens your very existence, may the lion inside of you roar. May you prevail where the eagles fail. May you have the eye of an eagle. May you run the race with the strength of a horse. And may you never get weary or tired. And in the days of adversity, may he who called and anointed you in eternity before you became a clot of blood in your mother's womb remember your mandate and send you help by the speed of light to rescue you from the secret nets of the enemy. May you be the head and not the tail. May you be above and not beneath. May you take root downwards and bear fruit upwards. May you fight a good fight. May you run the race. May you finish the course. May you be a conqueror, a champion, an overcomer. May you have an upper hand. May you have dominion in all the battles of life. And when you fall, may you rise again. May you come back again better than before. In the name of he who died and laid in the grave and arose on the third day, may the ever-increasing anointing of the everlasting mountains of Zion rest upon this conference. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
We believe you have been blessed by this powerful teaching from the Lighthouse Chapel International. For further inquiries, please write to Lighthouse Chapel International, P.O. Box KB 114, Kolebu, Accra, Ghana. or call 021-66-2055. That's 021-66-2055.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233-26-767-6055. +233-26-767-6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.